Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Well, the Golden State Warriors lose for just the second time this year, and boy, did they ever. Warriors get handled rather easily on the road out in Cleveland, 136-117. Warriors go to 7-2. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers, how about perfect? 10 in the donut, 10-0 for the Cavs, and they pretty much own this one right from the outset. Hi again, everybody, and welcome in to Warriors This Week. It's Dan Devone, and Sterling Bennett once again joins us from the Red Planet. Sterling, what's going on with you this morning?
I'm doing good. The wifey's out there putting the Christmas ornaments on the house, getting the house all festival and holidayed up for us. But yeah, talking some Golden State Warriors with Dan Devone is the best way to spend a Saturday morning out here in Hesperia, California.
Well, you're lying, but that's okay. I'll take it. There's a lot of things you can be doing rather than talking to me, especially
sleeping, right?
After that loss, 136-117. Look, first of all, how much are you reading into this? I already see somebody on the text line of the 209 saying that the Warriors came down to earth. Is that what we're looking at? Did they play, as we have sort of talked about and anticipated for some time, that once they start playing the better teams in this league, the Warriors potentially could be exposed? Or is this just a team, like any other team in the NBA, when it's game four on a five-game road trip, things like this will happen? How'd you see it?
Well, I think last night, the way the Warriors have played the first nine games this season, first off, I think everyone is kind of saying, wow, they are above the expectations we set for them coming into the year. That said, last night was ugly. They were 20-2. Last night, it was not pretty by any means. It was a cold start. But I don't look too much into last night. You played great the other games this year, the other eight games you played. You beat the Boston Celtics 2 games ago now. And coming off that high, you have to admit, you're playing the hottest team in the NBA, in the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, again, are perfect. The first team to be 10-0 since the Golden State Warriors when they were in 2015-2016. So they are historically good to begin this season. So I don't look too much into last night's loss. Was it ugly? Sure. But you have an emotional win against the Boston Celtics, kicked their butt in Boston. You're bound to have a down game the following night. That's just how things work in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the 10-0 start's pretty remarkable when you think about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And while we talk about the Warriors, are they for real? And we continue, we'll kick that around for the next 3 hours. I'm sure that'll be the theme that's ongoing until the Warriors really prove to people that this is either a legitimate team or just a team that got off to a hot start. Time will tell. But for the Cleveland Cavaliers and their storyline, yeah, they went to the second round of the playoffs a year ago, but I still think that when people talk about the East, it's still the Boston Celtics. It's still people believe that the New York Knicks are going to straighten things out in Philadelphia when Joel Embiid comes back, in Milwaukee, if they ever straighten things out with Giannis and Dame Lillard and company. Meanwhile, Cleveland, at a 10-0 start, is trying to tell everybody, hey, this is the team that you should, this is the horse you should be betting on right now. And as good as 10-0 is, And you just referenced 2015 and 2016. The Warriors started 24-0. Yeah. Just to give it some sort of perspective. And a lot of that was under Luke Walton, if you recall. Remember, Steve Kerr was out with a bad back. So that's when the Warriors were obviously in their heyday. And we're still, again, trying to balance the weight of this one. Is this a Warrior team? Again, are there the people out there that are still uncertain as to whether that this is legitimate and it's sustainable? And I'm sure that they're pounding their chest a little bit today saying, see, you know, I told you so. This is a Warrior team. When they take on Cleveland, they're just not that good. What I saw yesterday is that the Warriors, they need that energy. I think that when you look at what has been the blueprint of this team, it's the defense, obviously, and it's the depth. And it's bringing in all these guys that just have what jumps out at the page of me from day one in assessing this team. It's that high level of athleticism and just youthful legs, something that was lacking on this team over the last couple of years. This is an aging basketball team. Now it's become younger, athletic, and you can see the energy is absolutely palpable. But in order to have that energy, you've got to be well rested. You've got to bring it every night. And that's why you become really vulnerable, I think, in games like that last night, where everybody, as we have talked about, is going to deal with a hiccup like this. All right, 5-game road trip. It's the fourth game, and you're taking on the best team in the NBA. All right, enough said. This is the NBA, and it happens every year and will continue to happen. Or is there, if there's something to read into this, do the Warriors have to be a team that brings it every night in terms of their energy? In other words, when the Warriors, going back to that, you referenced the 2015-2016 team, or when the Warriors were quote-unquote good or in that dynastic run, you may not be at full tilt. And that also is going to happen in the NBA. You may not be at full strength in terms of your energy, and you may not be ready to play an NBA basketball game. But because you were so good and you were so connected, it might be a little ragtag. Steph Curry may not be on his game, but you still were competitive, and you could still win those games more often than not. Now, I think that the Warriors, in order for them to win, I think that the ingredient is that energy that I've referenced to. It's the buy-in. It's the defense that everybody has to bring it every night. And if it's not there, then you're going to see things like you did last night. Do you find any validity into that, Sterling?
I just think when you play games like against the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers and Oklahoma City tomorrow, you're going to have games where, like against Boston, you play well, everything clicks and connects, and then you're going to have games against the Cleveland Cavaliers last night where the Cleveland Cavaliers are the hottest team in the NBA record-wise, but they can't miss a three-pointer last night. They were incredible to begin that game, and you know they put the Golden State Warriors in such a big hole to a point where it was like, all right, let's just pull the starters out for a hot second, let Kuminga come in and cook for a quarter or two, whatever it is. But I think that we often forget that they're only 9 games into the NBA season. It is a brand new roster with new depth pieces. They're trying to figure out rotations still, trying to figure out who's starting, who's not starting. I mean, hell, they might even trade Jonathan Kuminga at a certain point this year. That's been a conversation the entirety of the offseason. It's been a large part of the conversation with what's happening with the Milwaukee Bucks now with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I think Steve Kerr's trying to find things out still and figure things out still. And so when you kind of get smacked in the face early in that first quarter last night, it makes you go, oh, you know, what adjustments do we have to make? I think last night, if anything, for as bad as it was, you lose 136 to 117. The one thing I would take away from last night was, yes, you lost, and that stinks, but that's okay. You're 7-2. You're off to the hottest start you had since 2021-2022, I believe. So you're in a good spot in the Western Conference. You're 9 games into the NBA season, and more importantly, you can learn from last night. And the one thing I saw that we didn't see at all last year was the Warriors actually had fight when they got punched in the mouth. They started, and it wasn't pretty, but they tried to make that comeback. Last year, if that happened last year late in the season, it was over with. They were done. It was cave in, put in Pods and Trace and Moody, and you're playing all these backup guys. And for as good as that youth has been this year for them, they showed fight last night. They still lost, but they did show some grit they didn't have last year. And that, to me, matters more than, hey, you lost by almost 20 points, but you fought. That matters to me.
That's a good point, because the 136 to 117 deficit, when you look at it and you wake up the next morning and go, ah, Warriors got smoked. Yeah, they got smoked, but they were also down by 50 at one point. So
right.
The margin differential, albeit it was clearly one-sided, and the Cleveland Cavaliers dominated right from the jump, right from the tip. This is all about Cleveland. And you could see it. You could just see that this team was ready. And they had, you know, the Warriors on their radar. As often is the case, as much as we talk about how the Warriors are no longer, you know, the hunted, they're the hunters. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I still think there's a lot of teams that, as long as Steph Curry is upright, and as long as Draymond Green is chirping and barking at everybody, that teams get ready for the Warriors when they come to town. Maybe not to the level of previous seasons, but when the Warriors are on the schedule, and they're coming to Cleveland, they're coming to Boston, they're coming to Chicago, Detroit, you fill in the team, I still think that there's an added sense of motivation because it is the Warriors. So this whole idea that they can sneak up on teams now because they don't have that sort of intimidating personnel as they had during that remarkable run, I don't necessarily buy into it. But getting back to the fight that you talked about, this was a game that could have been a lot uglier. So, you know, when you lose by 19 as opposed to what could have been a 50-point deficit, and to your point, think about what happened last year on a similar road trip back in March when the Boston Celtics also started to boat race them early in a game. They lost by 50. 50. So, I get it. A loss is a loss, but sometimes you can read into things. And losing by 19 as opposed to losing by 50 makes a difference. Means that if you were to take anything out of it, and if there's some sort of carryover, and now that you got to take on OKC before you come back home and sleep in your own bed, which is tomorrow, is that, yeah, I still think that they stayed within who they've been up to this point and showed that they have a little dog in them. I think that last year when you lose to, remember that game where they said, okay, Jaylen Brown, shoot threes, prove to us that you can be somebody that can shoot beyond the arc. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah, I will. And and it was ridiculous. I think that might be some of the lack of fight that you were referring to in that game against the Celtics as opposed to what we saw yesterday. So I'm going to be, and typically if you listen to the show, I'm not necessarily that guy that wakes out of bed and is skipping to my breakfast and saying, oh my goodness, the world is so good and the Warriors, keep up the good fight. No, usually if they're playing poorly, I'll be the first guy in line to go after them. But I'm still buying in, and I'll still take something out of this game, and it's what you referenced, that this could have been a lot uglier than the 136-117 loss.
Well, me and you had talked a lot about coming into the season that what are the expectations for the Golden State Warriors this year? One, you're going to have Kuminga, you know, be this transcendent player you've hoped he'd be the last few seasons. But also, you are going to, the likelihood you're fighting for the fourth seed and the third seed's very, very slim, but you have to set yourself up to be able to fight for that. Through 9 games, they're 7-2. And even if they lose tomorrow, you look at their schedule so far this year, okay, say they beat the Boston Celtics, you're feeling great, no Jaylen Brown, prayed, okay, how much you look into that? I don't know. But say you lose to Cleveland and lose to OKC tomorrow, although I do think last night's loss against Cleveland can set them up for success against OKC tomorrow night.
Wow, all right. All right. What are you telling me here, Sterling?
You beat the Pelicans twice in back-to-back. You beat Houston. You beat the Wizards. Like, honestly, like, you are in a position where last year, you're not even beating bad teams. Go back to MLK Day against the Memphis Grizzlies. Draymond Green comes back. That team is stagnant. They have no fight. They're losing to G Leaguers.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At least this year, they're beating bad teams. They're beating teams that are going to be in that same category as themselves. So if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, looking at last night is like, oh, I can't believe you lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Why? Like, yeah, you lost, but Cleveland's a heck of a team. They're on a hot start. They're 10-0. And again, the first team since that 73-win Warriors team to be 10-0 to begin a season. And the Warriors are 7-2, feeling pretty good. You're beating bad teams this year. One thing you couldn't do last year, which could have been a massive difference in your Western Conference standings, which maybe you're not in the play-in tournament last year had you beaten some bad teams down the stretch. This is a Golden State Warriors team that thus far, through 9 games, which means nothing, but it's 9 games, they've set themselves up already better than they were last year. They're off to a hotter start. They're playing more cohesive basketball. They have some fresh legs. Curry's playing good. Draymond feels like he's maybe not going to be this hyper-aggressive, choking out players anymore on the court, but you have more from Kuminga.
Still early.
Buddy Hield's been crazy. Like, you really do have something that I think last year you had no signs of. That spark, its energy, like you mentioned earlier, Dan.
So, Sterling, you talked about how the Warriors are going to be much better tomorrow night. Now, you stopped short of predicting what would be a significant upset. Do you want to go that far, that the Warriors are going to beat OKC on the road in game 5 of a 5-game road trip?
I wouldn't go that far, but I do think that...
Come on, Sterling, go that far. What do you got to lose? You live on the red planet. No one's going to find you if you're wrong.
And no one's going to come for me if I say the Warriors are going to win tomorrow and they don't. But I think last night we talked earlier about it's how you lose. Sometimes you can get your butt kicked. You turn the ball over. You're not hitting threes. You're fouling out. It's ugly, right? While the first half was ugly, you were almost down by 40 points. You fought back. You made it somewhat respectable in that third and fourth quarter. I think it's how you lose. Sometimes young players can get demoralized early in a season when they're not playing well or things don't go their way. You didn't see that last night. And while I think the Golden State Warriors would still lose tomorrow, I do think the fast-paced Cavaliers can set the Golden State Warriors up to say, okay, how do we change? What can we do differently? Even Steve Kerr in the post-game press conference was like, I didn't set my guys up well enough. I think tomorrow that can change. Whether it's the win or loss, I don't know, but I do think losses like last night can go a long way into showing where this team can be in the future. And I'm hoping tomorrow against the OKC Thunder, they can show that there is a change or maybe a little more to this team than we thought coming into the season.
You know, Sterling, we've got up in the studio, the peripheral sort of video is Tennessee is apparently playing a basketball game against Louisville. And somebody hit a corner three, and the guy just gave the chef's kiss, which I caught out of the corner of my eye. And not that I wasn't listening to your brilliant take, but I'm like,
I heard you going, wow.
No, but that is just something that has to, I think I want to give credit to Pete Alonso, who had that big home run on the playoffs and that remarkable victory against Philadelphia. And Alonso just said, chef's kiss. You know, you don't need to get creative. For those of you professional football players or basketball players or anybody in the professional ranks that wants to do a little dance, wants to do a little gig after some sort of accomplishment on the field, you don't need to do the shimmy Although, you know, if you want to be Steph, do you. You don't have to have some organized dance in the end zone. Just chef's kiss. That's all I'm saying, Shinley. Chef's kiss says it all.
When Chad Ochocinco was out there putting the football with the pylon and putting the gold jacket on during his time with the Bengals?
Yeah, that's, you know, he's the OG in starting a lot of this stuff. I was in Seattle when Terrell Owens, I got the football on my show that Terrell Owens had a Sharpie in his sock. You talk about a premeditated celebration. He played an entire game with a Sharpie in his sock, anticipating that when he scored a touchdown, he was going to sign the football, which is exactly what it is that he did. And somehow I did a post-game show, and we got a hold of that football, and I had it somewhere because it actually belonged. Like, you know what, man? Can you imagine that thing on eBay today? My goodness, the stuff that I've lost or given away.
It'd probably be in the Hall of Fame at this point.
Yeah, well, it doesn't belong to me, that's for sure. So, listen, when you talk about Oklahoma and the game coming up tomorrow, and I was putting you on the spot and see if you wanted to go as far as, do you think that they'll upset OKC, which is, okay, if the Cavaliers are the best team. Are we saying the Cavaliers are the best team in the NBA or the best team in the East? Sterling? Did we lose Sterling? Cam, we'll find him. See, that's what happens when you live on the other side of the moon, is that, you know, you're in that witness protection program and you lose Wi-Fi. Because you're on that, you know, no one can find you. But we'll get Sterling coming back in just a bit. So whether it's, you know, you want to anoint the Cleveland Cavaliers as the best team, I think Cleveland's inside-out game, I mean, really the foundational pieces on that team, it's their bigs. And you don't say that about a lot of NBA teams because everybody's sort of five out. That's sort of the template. But when you think about Allen and Mobley, those are two young and very, very talented bigs. And so you usually, when you're assessing an NBA basketball team like that of the Boston Celtics or even the Warriors in their heyday, you talk about shooting the three and shooting it at high volume and being better than anybody at doing it. You got to make your threes. And Boston proved that a year ago. And it's part of the reason why Steve Kerr said, you know, we're going to shoot threes this year. That's who we're going to be, 3-D. But the Cavaliers give you an inside-out game. They have an interior presence with Mobley as well as Jared Allen. So they rim protect, and they can also dominate inside the paint. But both of those guys can get out and run. They can also, especially Mobley, can get outside, and he can give you a jimmy from beyond the three-point stripe. And then you have remarkable shooters, obviously, in Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And now you insert this kid, Dean Wade. They might be the most balanced team, along with maybe OKC, when you talk about having that interior presence and then the ability to obviously shoot it from the outside. And then, I don't know about you, but I'm a Kenny Atkinson guy.
Yeah.
And Kenny Atkinson, it's not oftentimes whether you get an opportunity to be a head coach, but where it is that you're going to be a head coach. And I think that, much like Steve Kerr, remember when Steve Kerr was signed, sealed, and delivered going to the New York Knicks? That would have lasted about maybe a year. Are you there, Sterling?
I'm here.
Okay. I was just pontificating until we got you again. All right. I was just howling at the moon. No, so just to get back to let me just wrap up my thought. When you talk about Steve Kerr going to the New York Knicks, that thing would have lasted, seriously, maybe a year and a half, maybe 14 months, and then he wouldn't have been unemployed,
family, really.
And he would have been back at TNT or doing whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
There's a movie called Sliding Doors, for those of you movie fans back in the 1990s, that, you know, it's about somebody that's late for a subway, and they catch the subway, and then their entire life changes, or they miss that subway, and how life becomes very different. And so Steve Kerr opting to go to the Golden State Warriors, obviously, as they like to say, the rest is history. And I think, certainly, to a certain degree, when you talk about Kenny Atkinson going to a Cavalier team that really was plug and play. I mean, if you looked at this team a year ago, they dealt with injuries. And they also were a team that just was ready to take off and do what it is doing. And now I'm not saying anybody could have been the head coach. I think Kenny Atkinson is a guy that knows what it is. He's awake when it comes to the NBA. I think he's a guy that builds, we throw around that culture word, but a lot of what it is that rubbed off on him here with the Golden State Warriors, and also the impact he had on the Warriors on both the offense and defensive philosophies, certainly are benefiting him and the Cleveland Cavaliers and off to that 10-0 start. But just to get back to OKC, before we wrap this up, is that it'd be nice to get the win. You just don't want to get blown out again. Right. Because if you get blown out again, now it becomes, you're giving a little credence to those who are saying, I told you so, that there's no real foundation or legs under this thing. So you want to maintain, quote-unquote, that fight that you alluded to, but I think you want this to be competitive tomorrow night against OKC, albeit that they might be the better team, and it's game number 5 on a 5-game road trip.
Well, I think the expectation for the Thunder and the Warriors are very different this year, right? OKC was one of the best teams in the entire Western Conference in the NBA last season, whereas Golden State was fighting for a play-in spot. They're younger, they're ready to go, they're exciting. They have, it feels like, this massive core of players that runs about 10 deep really over there in Oklahoma, and they're kind of like the Cleveland Cavaliers, although I think they're deeper than Cleveland is. They even have Alex Caruso now out there in OKC, so they bulked up their bench. This is a game that I think we all point to as Warrior fans and go, this could get out of hand relatively quick if the Warriors don't come to play. And I think, again, going back to my point earlier, that last night's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers and how fast-paced they were, the hot start they got off to, I think it helps Golden State against the Thunder tomorrow. Now, again, they're probably going to lose that game because they're not as good of a team as the Thunder are, but if the Warriors continue to fight their way through and chug their way through and keep it close, all it takes is one Steph Curry heater in that fourth quarter or third quarter, and they have a lead. Last night, they never had a chance to get that lead. And I think a lot of that kind of goes into how the Warriors start games. Their first 5 or 6 minutes have not really been great the last couple games or so against the Celtics and the Cavaliers, and the Celtics didn't pull away, whereas the Cavaliers did. Now, it took a lot for that to happen. Great shooting and ball movement, but I do think that the Thunder and what they can do is a lot more similar to what the Cavaliers can do in the Celtics. And I think that tomorrow, it's going to be a big test. So, okay, you beat the Celtics, you lost the Cavaliers, how do you respond? This team has to find a response. Last night's response to getting their butt kicked in that first quarter, first half, was, okay, we're going to fight back. If you do get smacked in the mouth tomorrow early, do you have that fight? And again, it's not always, oh, you lost. Sometimes it's how you lose. Last night's loss wasn't that bad, despite the box score. Even if they lose tomorrow against OKC, you can find some silver linings. Okay, it wasn't actually as bad as it may have looked from the outside looking in.
All right, we continue here on Warriors This Week. We'll continue to talk about and preview the big game against Oklahoma City. I love when the Warriors take on OKC at OKC. You know why? Because it brings back what I think, which has been obviously take your pick, of some of the greatest moments in Steph Curry's career. To me,
yeah,
it was going back to February 27th or 17th, I believe. February 27th, Cam. The date is indelible. It's etched in my mind. 2016, when Steph Curry hit that game winner from the logo. That, to me, was the shot that I'll remember. And he's had so many. And if you want to chime in, 888-888-957-9570, let us know some of your greatest Steph Curry moments. To me, That was my all-time favorite. And he'll get another opportunity back at OKC tomorrow as the Golden State Warriors, after getting handled by that of the Cleveland Cavaliers, look to bounce back against what is, if not the Cavaliers, then it's OKC, the best team in the NBA. Warriors This Week continues. It's Cam Williams, it's Sterling Bennett, it's Dan DeVone. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back on a beautiful Saturday here in San Francisco, California, the studios of 95.7 The Game right here on Kearney Street. Cam Williams, Sterling Bennett, and Dan DeVone. What's the weather like out there, Sterling, on the Red Planet?
Right now inside my house, it's about 64 degrees, so it's pretty cold. They got the sweater and the pajamas on, and we're all bundled up trying to stay warm. The coffee pot's on as hot as it can possibly be, but it's been about around 64 every single day for the past couple of weeks, dipped into the 33s at nighttime. So the winter is definitely here. It is not coming. It is certainly here.
So you get sort of that Nevada, Las Vegas-esque weather, yep, as opposed to Southern California. So the winters at night can get really, really chilly where you are.
Yeah, so like during the summer, it's about 102 at times. It's desert heat. It's dry. It's desert. It's desolate. There's no sidewalks. It's rock and sand and dirt and cactuses and tumbleweeds. In the winter, we're talking, you better be bundled up. If you're not, you're getting hypothermia. You don't go outside. It's freezing cold. It's Barstow. It's Las Vegas. It is high desert weather all year round.
Did you ever see Breaking Bad?
I have, yes. Yes.
And you remember when he goes into hiding? And he's basically the lead character. He's basically, remember, he's basically an asylum. He's, yeah, it looks like you don't know where he is. And he gets every, like, once a month, they'll deliver him food and books. And I'm sort of assuming that's kind of where you are.
I get the drop package once a month, yeah, at the door. Here's your food for the month. No one talked to him. No, yeah, there's no contact at all. Mom and Dad have no idea where I'm at right now.
All right, so the Golden State Warriors losers to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and for the first time this year, they get blown out 136-117. Keep in mind, the Warriors in the midst of a five-game roadie, which, by the way, they were undefeated going into this contest. The Warriors coming off their most significant, their most impressive win, that and a victory over the Boston Celtics, where I think, well, maybe here in the Bay Area, and this often happens when things get regionalized, and I think a lot of people here in these parts were aware of what was going on with the Warriors, that there was some momentum that was beginning to build. There's a little groundswell. There's a little murmur like, hey, you see what's going on with the Warriors? This team's off to a hot start. Weren't expecting this, and people were getting excited. Whereas I think from the national perspective, people thought, well, it's the Warriors. Like, they don't have Klay. Steph's old. Draymond's old. The heyday's over. The dynasty's done. The Warriors are maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, maybe the ninth best team out in the Western Conference. And then last week happened where, in front of the world, the Golden State Warriors beat the Boston Celtics, and they do it out there in Beantown. Now, the Boston Celtics, obviously, the defending world champs. There are a lot of storylines. This is building into a good rivalry between the two. The Warriors beat them in the NBA championship now going on 3 years ago. Obviously, we know what happened over the summer in which Jason Tatum was overlooked, at least in the eyes of Boston Celtic fans, that caller on line two from Worcester, Mass. Yeah, that Steve Kerr. The hell with him. I mean, there was a lot of hatred of Steve Kerr because he benched Jason Tatum in that first game against Serbia and would sit him down. A lot of people felt that that had nothing to do with the United States team trying to win a basketball game. Rather, it was a little payback against the Celtics, and the fact that he is a member of the Boston Celtics, that it was personal for Steve Kerr. Obviously, it wasn't, but it just fuels the rivalry. So I think that win just opened the eyes for a lot of people who stood up and took notice what it is that the Warriors have been doing up to this point. And they were getting a lot of national play this past week, where the Warriors now suddenly are on the radar of a lot of people. Whereas I think, you know, prior to that victory, they were just, you know, the Warriors, where the dynasty had come to an end and they were no longer relevant. Now they're beginning to open eyes, where a lot of people are beginning to take an interest in what it is that they're doing. I do want to talk about last night, and Sterling, I'll let you get into this, but first, I think Steve Kerr is sending a message. So Steve Kerr, after the game, you would think, and by his body language and watching Steve Kerr on the bench, I think early on he knew, because he's played in this game. He knows that you're going to have warts like this, right? That this is part of the NBA. He recognized the low energy from his team, and he could see that Cleveland was on a heater and that this thing was done, I don't know, 8 minutes into the contest. And I think that afterwards, personally, I have no idea to verify this, that he knows that, look, we were susceptible to a loss like this. But I don't think he wants to deliver that message to his team and or publicly. And so he was somewhat critical of his team in what was a blowout game, which I think was to be expected. respected to a certain level. Ken, let's go ahead and play that bite.
Oh, we got to respond. We got to, you know, we need to practice tomorrow. We got to execute better. I just, you know, we had 13 turnovers in the first half. We were completely disorganized, and that's where I feel like we need the most work. We've got to continue to work on our organization and just getting settled so that we can execute and understand how to execute against a team that's playing, you know, at that level defensively.
Sterling, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Steve Kerr is saying is that while last night happened, that's not who we've been all year. Let's not let one game give us into or put us in a tailspin. They have not been turnover prone. They were the fourth best three-point shooting team in the entire league before last night. This team has played extremely well. They were top five in offense and defense efficiency before last night. You've been one of the best teams in the NBA before last night, so don't let last night's loss against the Cavaliers lead to something worse. You know who you've been for the first eight games so far. Don't let that ninth game open a door to creating bad habits. We saw last year, this team was turnover prone. They didn't play good defense. Transition defense was atrocious last year for the Golden State Warriors. And while they can still improve in certain areas, like it's not even 10 games into the year just yet. I think what Steve is saying that, you know, look, last night wasn't great. We just lost. It was sloppy in that first half. It gave us a near 40-point deficit in that first half. We can't do that to ourselves. Let's tighten things up tomorrow and get back at it on Sunday against OKC. And that's fine. You have to bounce back, clap back, respond. And that goes into what Steve Kerr is saying in that soundbite we just played.
Yeah, I think Steve Kerr is trying to tell his team that on one hand, I get it. I've played in this league and I shouldn't ride you guys, but I am. Because he's got to keep the bar high. There's a lot of coaches, and Steve Kerr could have taken this one of two ways. Like, that was bound to happen.
Sure.
You know, when you're on the road like this, things like this are inevitable, especially when you're a team that's been playing as well as we have, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have been playing as well as they have. It was sort of the perfect storm. But I think that what he's saying subtly to his team is that, and everybody else, that this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And that we're disorganized as a basketball team. And I don't care if it's the end of a roadie, and I don't care how well we've played up to this point and whether we've been playing beyond our skis, that this is the measuring stick. And what's the measuring stick is that we're competitive in every basketball game. We expect to win every single basketball game. He's building a winner here with his Golden State Warrior basketball team. And it's not just a cute story to Steve Kerr where, yeah, we're going to lose, obviously, to the Cavaliers when you get off to a slow start. That's okay. I'll take 7-2. No. He wants to be 8-1, and he expects to win every game. And I think that that was the message and the shot across the bow yesterday to the rest of his team.
Well, you talked about earlier with Kenny Atkinson about the culture, right? Coming in and establishing a culture with the Cavaliers. Young players that are ready to take off, take that next step, similar to how the transition from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr was in Golden State. Yeah, we'll be competitive under Mark Jackson and do things well, and you'll be in the playoffs, but Steve Kerr took them to obviously a dynasty run with the culture reset, with, you know, establishing, hey, I don't care what last night looked like, that's not who we are. We are a much more refined team. We don't turn the ball over. We play good defense. But my question, I guess, would be, well, all that's great. Well, I am firmly behind that being a great message to your team of like, look, you know, I don't care what happened last night. We're going to be better tomorrow. And we're not going to be better because last night was so bad. We're going to get better because we have to. But I think that this may be a little bit of a response to last year. And not directly a response to last year, but indirectly. Because last year was so out of hand. So many things went wrong. There were so many emotions in the building with Klay and Draymond. The team wasn't as good as they were a couple years ago. And they just couldn't figure out how to win basketball games. And I think Steve Kerr sees that, hey, the way we've played through 8 or 9 games this year, we can go somewhere with this roster. Buddy Hield's been playing like prime Klay Thompson to begin the season. This bench looks incredible so far. You're getting a lot from your depth pieces. And guys you don't expect to get a lot from, you're getting a little more than you thought. And so I think that Steve Kerr is like, look, I see a lot of potential in this roster, and even if we lose by 20 or near 20 to the Cavaliers last night, you beat Boston two nights ago. You have every right to walk onto that court if you play a clean version of Golden State Warriors basketball to have your name in the conversation of NBA Finals contender. Now go out there and prove it.
Taking a look at some of what it is that the text line has to say, and I'm just sort of generalizing and getting the pulse of the people, because that's what I do, Sterling, is there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, lineup changes, that Steph Curry can't shoot or can't play with non-shooting players. He needs a little help on the floor. People don't like the combination of Wiggins and Pajemski. Wiggins is better off the bench. Look, I know that jumps out to a lot of us after watching what happened yesterday. There's a lot of, whether it's lineups, matchups, a lot of scenarios you can point out and say, well, this is why the Warriors are struggling, or this is why the Warriors are getting blown out, and make sort of these general comments. I think that when you don't have that energy, which is clear, and it's going to happen on a roadie like this, I think that when you're lacking defense, it creates that sort of stagnant play that you saw from the Warriors. The Warriors, make no bones about this, they haven't really changed who they are going back to 2015, 2016. I was talking about the last time Steph was in OKC, or not the last time, but what I thought was, to me, the most iconic moment in what has been obviously a Hall of Fame, brilliant career, but that shot from the logo, the game winner, was my favorite. But as much as we get enthralled with the three-point shooting and the Splash Brothers, and even what's going on this year with Buddy Hield and Steph Curry and company, defense has always set this team in motion. Defense is, and they always were, if not number one, number two in the league defensively. It oftentimes got overlooked, but that's what sets you. That's what, how you get out to the three-point line and have numbers. That's how you get that man advantage. That's the energy that propels everything that happened on the offensive end. It's always started at the defensive, and there's always been buy-in defensively. So when the defense, and that's clearly what you have to keep an eye on when you watch this Warrior team, if the defense is not there for whatever reason, that they're just not bringing it, they're not suffocating, they're not blitzing guys like they did against the Celtics, where they were just every double team or just every blitz they had on Tatum out high or whoever was handling Pritchard, the Warriors were creating turnovers. They were suffocating. You could just see it. It was jumping off the screen at you. When it wasn't there against the Cavaliers, that's when you run into offensive difficulties. That's when you can, you know, that's when these scenarios, oh, Steph Curry can't play with fill in the blank, or Wiggins isn't good as a starter, need him up. No, that's just simply because you could not get into any offensive tempo. You can't get into any sort of offensive rhythm because that defensive presence, which is really sort of what you've made a name for yourself up to this point in the season, it wasn't there last night for whatever reason. That sort of defensive intensity you saw against the Boston Celtics that created the offense against the Celtics was not there. That's why I can't buy into a lot of what it is that I'm reading here, that, you know, Steph Curry can't play with non-shooters, or Wiggins and Pajemski are better off the bench. It was good to see Pajemski back in uniform, and just to talk about his game. Where are you at with Pajemski, and where are you at in terms of how he played last night? Hadn't seen him in a couple of games because of the... Well, actually, hadn't seen him since, I guess, the second half of that Celtic game.
Yeah, I think Pajemski, he's really struggled to shoot this year, so I think getting him and finding him rhythm is going to be really big for this team. I do think that Pods eventually, I think, could find himself into the starting lineup instead of Gary Payton the second, and we can kind of dive into maybe the rotation in the first six or so minutes with the starters a little bit later, but going into the defense, which you brought up in regards to blitzing, the one thing the Cavaliers did great last night that the Celtics didn't do. One, I think that not having Jaylen Brown hurt the Boston Celtics, but they still lost, right? And other guys weren't hitting their shots even when they got open. Whereas last night, the Cavaliers, they're a great passing team. They were moving that ball around left and right, not even giving the Golden State Warriors an opportunity to blitz them, to double-team them. And when they did, all their guys were hitting shots. And it's not just luck. They're a good three-point shooting team. You look at what the Warriors did last night. They tried, in a way, to replicate how the Boston Celtics game plan went, with blitzing Tatum, almost making the other team's non-stars, not their number one guy, beat them. And last night, the Cavaliers said, hey, we got five or six guys deep here. It doesn't matter if you double-team us or blitz us. We're going to find guys open to hit our shots. And the Golden State Warriors couldn't answer offensively when the Cavs got off to a hot start. So I do think that, yes, there's rotational, maybe starting unit issues with how they've begun the last two games. I think that it's been kind of a, you know, a head and tails or a two-faced coin against the Celtics and the Cavaliers and what we saw the last two nights with them. But I do think there is some credence to that the Warriors need to get a starter in the mix with that, or they need a shooter in the starting lineup with Stephen Curry, but also the defense wasn't working last night. You can't do the same thing every single night against the Celtics and the Cavaliers and expect the Cavs team, that's a lot better than the Celtics are currently, that are shooting out the wazoo, to not hit their shots. So I think that's kind of a mixture of an issue we saw. Bad start, and the Cavaliers were just incredible last night from beyond the arc.
The number, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Cam tells me we're going to officially open up the phone lines. They're getting backed up a little bit. We'll start things with Gloria hanging out in San Francisco. Gloria, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I totally agree with the thought of the Warriors being out of sync, out of rhythm, out of energy. They performed great prior to the Cleveland game. Cleveland has built something special there. They have length. They're big. They're able to be athletic as well as shoot. Buddy Hield has played brilliantly. I think the Warriors just ran up against a juggernaut last night, and they were energized and waiting on the Warriors to come. With that being said, I don't want to take anything away from how the Warriors have played. I do agree that they are building something special there. I do believe that they need some defensive prowess. I'm wondering, what do we do to acquire that? Are we waiting on that guy that we got from Philadelphia to return? Do we need to think of trading to get a defensive person or an offensive, a second shooter perhaps? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good job, Gloria. I think that in order for trades at this juncture, I'm letting things breathe. I still have to assess who the hell I am as a basketball team. Love the start. And I think you were referring to DeAnthony Melton, who was back in the starting lineup yesterday, or not in the starting lineup, but was back in uniform, back on the floor yesterday. But I think I need a little bit more time just to see, is Jonathan Kuminga come the trade deadline? As you referred to, Sterling, somebody that I'm going to move? Do I need to make, what am I missing as a basketball team? In terms of assessing this, the Warriors of this season, it's a little premature because there's so many moving pieces. There's so many different parts. And there's the possibility that if this is the status quo going forward, I don't know that I need to make that drastic move. That this Warrior basketball team is something that I can, you know, that I can ride until the end of the season because I have so much depth. Either you're into the depth or you're not. And if you're going to play the 12 to 13 guys, then if you're going to bring somebody else in, if you're going to move players, you're going to disrupt that card. So I can't make any sort of overall sort of judgment on this basketball team as to who they are and pigeonhole them into a variety of groups. This is what they're missing. They need a big. They need shooters. They need somebody with a defensive presence. Oftentimes, you could attribute that to the Warriors or any basketball team. But this team, because it's so different, it's so unique to anything we've seen in the Steve Kerr era. We're playing 13 we. I'm going French. I got nothing to do with the basketball team. No more we. The Warriors are playing 13 dudes. All right? That just simply doesn't happen, certainly with Steve Kerr. So As far as what do we do with the trade deadline, what are they missing, where do we go from here, I can honestly tell you, and I think Steve Kerr would echo the sentiment that I don't really know what the hell to think until I see a little bit more of this. If this is sustainable in a month, if you're still amongst the top or two or three teams in a month or 2 months from the NBA, I'm going to ride this horse all the way to the finish line. What do you say, Sterling?
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I think that any of the, I guess, questions you have about the Golden State Warriors of maybe it's a second shooter in the starting lineup, or how do they fix the defense, a lot of those answers, at least you hope, are going to be found internally, at least to begin the season. You're going to find out which rotations work. How do you start games compared to how do you close games? Those lineups don't have to be the same. I would love to see DeAnthony Melton eventually, or even Pajemski, once he gets his shooting fixed, become the starting shooting guard for this team. It'll open things up for this motion offense they're currently running with the Golden State Warriors to help Stephen Curry out and hopefully get off to hotter starts to begin the seasons and the games. But in regards to making a massive trade or finding a piece to help the defense or the offense, I do think that if I was going to dive into my tinfoil cap here, that playing a 12 to 13 man rotation does one of two things. One, it showcases some more players to around the league of what they can do for you and how you can acquire some pieces. But also it keeps Steph Curry fresh and Draymond Green fresh and Wiggins fresh. That way, let's say there's a guy in Milwaukee named Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the odds that trade actually happens are slim, but it's still possible. You hear Brian Windhorst of ESPN yesterday, maybe it was on Thursday, talk about that. The Golden State Warriors are set up to make a big trade if they want to. Well, you go back to last night's loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, you have Giannis talking to somebody in the locker room saying, hey, if you don't want to be here, you can leave. Well, if that dissension is going to continue to happen in Milwaukee, you say, hey, here's Kuminga, here's Wiggins. I think it was our own Evan Giddings that said, hey, here's Wiggins and Kuminga and four first-round picks. Take them. Okay, well, in that same vein, you've also played a 13- to 12-man rotation for the first 2 months of the NBA season. You've gotten yourself to the trade deadline. You got fresh legs for your stars. You get Giannis involved. Gives you that stretch four you can play with and opens the offense up. You put yourself in that conversation for, wow, pretty good 2-3 months of the NBA season to begin. Now you have fresh legs for your stars, and you insert Giannis, you're in the upper echelon of the NBA. So although it's a stretch to even go that far, they haven't even played 10 games yet. Everything we question today or even tomorrow is going to have to be found internally to get to the NBA trade deadline, and then they may not even make a move at that point either. So they have a good team. They're 7-2. They can very, very much be 8-2 come tomorrow night. That's really impressive. And you beat OKC, you're starting to see the Fox Sports and the ESPNs and us and other people talk about, hey, this Warriors team might be for real with what Steve Kerr's cooking out there in the Bay Area.
I'm not one of those. If anybody spends any time, and I don't know why you wouldn't, listening to me and Warriors this week, is that it's just a personal rant. I don't want Giannis. I don't want Paul George, and I don't want Lauri Markkanen. I didn't even want Kevin Durant. I just don't think that you win by mercenaries or piecing together stars. It has to be more organic than that. And when you look at every NBA championship team over the last 10 to 15 years, it's dudes that you drafted, right? It's about guys like that of the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that you got in a draft. And guys, players that are under team control. If I have to give up, because it's going to take a lot more than Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga and some draft picks, because, and I mentioned this last week, when you're talking about Giannis, it's not only a good basketball player that maybe starts barking for a trade. This dude is synonymous with Milwaukee in a small market.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has one thing, beer and Giannis. Maybe beer, brats, and Giannis. Maybe not in that order.
The Packers. the Brewers.
But he's everything to Milwaukee. So yeah, maybe we'll trade him, but you sure as hell better come stronger than Wiggins and Kuminga. I want Wiggins, Kuminga, maybe Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, and and throw in I don't know what. But they're going to, if we're actually going to move off of somebody that's not only a good basketball player, but somebody that means as much to the community as Giannis, it's going to cost a lot. And to me, it's not worth it. Austin, my man, you got to hang in there. We're up against it. You got to get to a break. Don't go anywhere. Austin's standing by. We got more of your calls. It's Cam Williams. It's Sterling Bennett. It's Dan Devon. Warriors this week just getting started. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.